And they saw no one except Jesus only. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. The question for each person finally is, what are you looking for? What do you seek? You recall the angel asks this of Mary Magdalene. Whom do you seek? I seek the Lord. You see, it turns out that in the end, we will all find what we're looking for. We will all find what we will all have the thing we desired all along. If we're leading a secret or double life, no one realizes the thing we've desired all along until the end of our life comes and we receive it. Not a heavenly destination. St. Augustine warns us that the direction of our thoughts will be the direction of our soul. The fulfillment of our desires will be our eternal home. The irony of the Gospels is that they have had God all along. And as St. John famously reminds us in his prologue, and they received him not. Jesus wishes to make sure that they get it right, so he takes them to a holy place, Bannaeus, the headwaters of the Jordan River, a very, very holy place, the temple of Pan, also the temple of Augustus Caesar. The Romans recognized it as being a very holy place. If you go there, you will see Pan, of course, is too great a god to have a man-made building. What the disciples would have seen there is that off to the left was a Parthenon-style building, you know, a colonnaded building with pillars all around it and a high portico, the temple of Augustus Caesar. But it would be the mountain itself, the grotto for Pan, because only nature can capture the splendor of Pan. And then outside the, we would say, cave, to the right were smooth booths carved into the side of the mountain where other deities would have stood. Jesus takes them to this most holy place because he wants them to get into focus. He wants them to look for the right thing. And he asks them that most famous question that he asked, who do you say that I am? Here is Jesus sitting before them. The Son of God sits before them. The air is filled with quickening life. It's a misty, cool place in a hot land because nearby the headwaters are bubbling out of the ground in spring. Very pleasant place. They feel relieved. They're sitting on the ground. And then behind Jesus, they see the God-man, the Divus, the Emperor of Rome, declared to be a god. And then Pan, and then other deities. Well, Jesus could not have set the scene more clearly. Who do you say that I am? And then, having prepared them, he takes them to a nearby mountain. Strange things begin to happen. It should not have surprised anybody. Once you understand Jesus to be God, the things that happen on that mountain are not surprising in the least. You are prepared for them. Moses was not surprised to ascend Sinai because he knew God to be at the summit. He was prepared. He was prepared with a pillar of fire. He was prepared by a pillar of clouds. He was prepared by a summoning and a flaming bush. The disciples were prepared, and they still don't get it. How profound a rejection can this possibly be? Peter ventures to say, well, I will make booths. Because you cannot imagine Jesus being any higher than a minor deity. He had just seen these booths. You see, he gives away his mind. He found what he was looking for. He sat before Jesus. His eyes were on the booths. And since booths was the focus of his mind, booths would be the focus of his voice. And he is rebuked, not by Jesus this time, who calls him a stumbling stone, but by Father God. I will make booths for you and Elijah and Moses and prophets. And in the middle of his speech, but a cloud overtook them, and he heard a voice, "This is my son." This is not a prophet. He is rebuked. Have you ever been in the middle of ill-advised words and somebody stops you in the middle of them? It's a sharp rebuke. You can't finish your sentence. While he was still talking, the gospel says, he heard a voice. This is, I am. Who do you say that I am? This is. But it is cause for tears that they did not know this all along, because he has revealed himself to them over and over and over again. Signature moments revealing his identity. After he takes them to that lonely place where he feeds them in the wilderness with manna, he says to them the next day, "Do you still not understand?" It turns out that we will only find what we are looking for. And we will find what we are looking for. You know, we may say, oh, if I ever get to heaven, you know, but maybe not me, you know, this kind of stupid babble. All of us are made for heaven. But it must be the thing on our hearts, which is why we begin each Mass. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit. Because so often it is our profane thoughts that prevent us from always seeking God. Always thinking about God. The importance of the Jesus Prayer is that it drives out profane thoughts over and over and over again. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. One of the fathers says, have mercy on my sinful self, which is more focused. This is the purpose of the first two great commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, so that we may set our minds upon Jesus. We may set our minds upon God, and without a doubt, we will find what we are looking for. This is the happy news. This is the gospel. We will find what we are looking for, if we are looking for it. which is the message of the gospel. That God the Father should rebuke Peter? I thought God was, you know, our friend. Why would he rebuke this silly of invention of the 20th century pal, Jesus? And since Jesus is one with the Father, he must be our pal too. He has our back. He understands, no matter what. These are the proverbs of hell. He is God. He is a holy God. Blessed be those he rebukes, as we read in the letter to the Hebrews. He rebukes whom he loves. But you see, if we have a billion people on earth, or 8 billion people, or you know, however many, who are seeking the Jesus who is this invention, they will have fallen for the cruelest of all of the devil's bargains. If they are out of focus like Peter and have assigned Jesus a different role from the one he is, they will not come to the right destination. It gives me the shivers to think about how many people so profoundly misunderstand Jesus that they are worshiping a demonic invention. St. Peter says in our epistle lesson today, recall these things. I tell you over and over again, in effect, he says in his letter, recall these things, not myths, which is to say pagan gods and Greek stories. These things. St. Paul tells us, think on these things. In his great masterpiece on the Incarnation, St. Athanasius says, yes, Jesus has shattered the hinges of the house of death, but in order that we not fall back into the culture of death, we must think on Jesus. We must think on the Son of God. Not our pal, hey, how you doing? Not a prophet, not a minor deity, the Son of God. Athanasius says, this is the only way we will not slip back into death, is to contemplate Jesus, think on these things, recall these things. And when all the dust has cleared, to see no one except Jesus. Sir, I would see Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.